The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side and issue number 115, Wonder Woman 1984. John's on vacation this week, so our annual sit-in, my daughter Meg will be joining me, and we're going to break down Wonder Woman 1984. And honestly, this is why John and I started The Bright Side Chat, is we wanted to combat some of the negativity, and this is one of those textbook movies. And going into this podcast, I knew I liked the movie. My daughter really liked the movie. And by the time I was done talking to her, I love this movie. And I'll defend that to the hilt. I can't wait for you guys to hear this. She has some great points. She made me go from really liking this movie to absolutely loving this movie. And stay tuned to the end. We have a little outtake there, too, where I sent her for a loop. So check it out. We had a lot of fun. And hey, if you don't agree with us, that's great. Let us know on Twitter or you can email us. But I appreciate all the feedback. And let's go have some fun. All right, Meg, come on in. It's that time of year. John's on vacation, so we have the store to ourselves.
Yay.
How are we doing?
Good.
Did you enjoy the flight down here?
Yeah, it was more empty than times before.
Yeah. Everybody knows we're pretending. We didn't fly anywhere just to let everybody know. But from what I've heard, it's actually the airlines have been pretty busy.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah, surprising. I've seen a few people tweet some stuff out that they have, that the planes were full and they were surprised. So, but which I think is funny because they were flying.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You're accusing people of doing something wrong when you were sitting there too. But anyways, let's get right to it. This is a very hot topic. By the time this comes out, it'll be Thursday, so maybe things will have calmed down. But you and I have a different take than apparently the rest of the world. This is our Wonder Woman episode, of course, Wonder Woman 1984. It's in the title. John is on vacation this week. I have spoken to John. His opinion is different than mine. But it is different than the rest of, apparently, the world. He's disappointed. He's not as angry as some people are. Let's talk a little spoiler-free, Meg. I'll just ask you flat out. I know the answer, but tell the listeners, how did you feel about this movie, spoiler-free?
I loved the movie. I know it's a lot different than what most people are feeling about the movie, but I really liked it. I liked the storyline. It didn't feel like I was gypped of anything, and I also don't feel like I was given too much of anything. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great story. I always come on here for the female perspective. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great thing to take your kids to see because it's got a great message, and I think that's my favorite thing about the whole movie is the message that is getting lost in a lot of this upsetness over
hatred.
Over the movie. Yeah, hatred. Upsetness, hatred. I'll make up my own words.
There we go. That's why we're here. We're here exactly. To change the dictionary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked it as well. I can't say I loved it because I really did enjoy the first movie. I didn't love the first movie. It's not like an Endgame or an Infinity War or even a Captain America, which I really liked the first one more. You and I have talked about that in the past. We have our own perspective on that. And everybody does have different perspectives on each movie. But I did like this movie, and I didn't find it to be as bad as what everybody's saying. I have my issues with it. Maybe I'll talk about those more. I don't know what you and I are going to get to as far as negativity goes. John and I, I'm sure, will get into a little bit more of that. But I had a few issues with it, but just like any other movie, there's going to be issues. But I thought, like you, the overall message, the overall story, I thought was good. And it made me allow those issues just to, like, go by. Like, okay, yeah, no problem. Yeah. No big deal. what do you think of this idea? And talking to my brother, Uncle Mikey, I was talking to him and he really hated the movie. He was very disappointed. And one of the things he did say was he questioned himself and he said, maybe it was me. He had watched it Christmas night and it had been a long day. He has a young son and he was looking forward to this all day long. And he was, you know, wanted to sit down and watch the movie and really just relax and take it in. And then by the time he did that, he was like, oh man, this is garbage. And he was upset. So I wonder, do you think it's possible that most of the world was waiting for so long for this movie? It was supposed to be out 2 years ago, then come out this May and gets to, or June, I believe, then got delayed yet again. And we're going through this, you know, pandemic and everybody's just waiting for some great new content. And the expectations were built up so high. And then bang, Christmas Day, you're like, what? That's all I got. And it, maybe it's not as bad as what everybody's saying, but they're just so disappointed that it turns into hatred. What do you think of that idea?
I think that's probably the most explainable way to talk about it. Like, I think people were so excited and hyped up for it, and you've been waiting for it. And when you wait that long for something, you build your own expectation in your head. Not to change the subject, but it's like I just finished the first season of Mandalorian, and the first time we saw his face, I was like disappointed. Because I was like, oh man, that's not what I expected.
Poor Pedro.
It's not what I expected him to look like. Not in a way of he wasn't like right for the role. Not in the way of he's like not attractive or anything. It was just like, that's not what the voice sounded like to me. And so I was like,
you've never seen, you didn't watch Game of Thrones, right?
No. And so I've never seen him. So, and I didn't know any of the actors going into it. So. It's one of those, like, I got over it quickly because it doesn't matter and it doesn't change the way I feel about the show. But that's what happens with Wonder Woman is you sit around and you're waiting. Okay, movie gets pushed back a little more and pushed back a little more. And now you're sitting at home for so long. You have nothing to do. You're so excited for the movie to come out and comes out at home. You get to see it at home, which is a really cool thing. And if it doesn't meet what you made in your mind, you're going to be disappointed because you think of all the cool things they could do with it. You think of every direction they could possibly take it. And just because those story creators sitting in that room didn't think of exactly what you thought of on a Tuesday in December, you decide that it doesn't meet your expectations. I think that's a really great way to think of it. It just, when you build up your own ideas for the story and that's not what the story is, it's easy to get disappointed.
Yeah, that's the Star Wars universe in a nutshell. That's what people do. It's like, I didn't want them to do that. So it's, that means it's wrong. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's an easy rabbit hole to go down when you get disappointed that it didn't go the way you wanted. I felt that way with Shazam. I saw Shazam in the theater opening night. And I was disappointed with it. And I was, like what Uncle Mikey said, I was in a bad mood that day. I had a bad day at work. I had already bought my tickets. If I didn't already buy my ticket, I went by myself. And if I already didn't buy that, I probably wouldn't have gone. It was a bad night for me. And then I come home and I start reading the reviews. And it's a good thing that it was a good movie because I saw everybody talking about it and I was like, wait a minute, I gotta be wrong on this. It's so I went back and I'm like in a better mood and I really enjoyed it. And of course, because I think it's a great movie. But in a case like this with Wonder, when I really like something and the world hates it, I don't go back and check myself. I think, hey, that's my opinion. I'm going to stay with it because why would I want to go back and be miserable? So, yeah, I just, you want to get into it then? I liked it. You loved it. I really liked it. And if you don't like that opinion, then you can stop listening right now because we're going to try to break it down, especially from a female perspective. So we'll do that right now. So if you let me lock the door there, Meg, so that people know that we're talking spoilers. If you don't like it, stay out. I don't care. But if you like it, find the key and come on in. All right. Door's all locked up, Meg. What do you want to lead off with? We'll call this your show. I have some ideas, but this is your show, Meg. What do we got? Female perspective. spoilers. What do we got?
I think we should just start from the beginning. That's a part.
That's not how John and I do things.
A lot of people don't like. We touched on this a little bit after we saw the movie, but a lot of people didn't like the whole beginning scene and her as a child and kind of the setup to the huge lesson of the movie there. I'm not sure. You can bring in a little more of what people have been saying they don't like on that, because I loved that part, and it surprised me that people didn't like that there.
It was actually what I had seen was somebody tweeted out an idea that the studio wanted it dropped, and Patty Jenkins actually had fought to keep that in. And people were, and then of course you read the comments and people were like, yeah, it was garbage, take it out, it should have been out, and you know, the whole movie's garbage, take it all, you know, so you see all of that. And then you and I had that brief discussion about it, and you were like, no, let's save it for the podcast. But yes, so the idea, and what we talked about was, why would they take it out? That set the entire movie in motion, how it is the definition of the movie, which is great when they do that at the beginning of a movie. And then by the end, you realize when you go back and watch that again, which I've seen it now probably 2.5, almost 3 times. And when you watch that opening scene and you see Robin Wright, Aunt Dio, whatever her name was at the time, Robin Wright, but she takes the spear from Diana, you know, young Diana, and says, mm-hmm. No, you can't win because you cheated. It's a lie. And anything built on a lie isn't real. You didn't mm-hmm. earn that. And it was a great message for a kid. But then, as we know, the movie plays out, it's all based on wishes. And wishes aren't earning it. You didn't earn it. And we'll talk mm-hmm. about more as we go through. But that's not how things go. You didn't really earn it. So that set up the whole movie and what could happen. I think it would have been worse of a movie. It wouldn't have been a very good movie if we just went with, like people are saying, people are focused on the wishes, but I love that whole wishes thing.
I think you have to take it, like you said, what's the point of the movie without the message? As much as these movies are for us and for action and for like excitement, I'm not a parent, but I think you would want these to be something you'd take your children to see. And you grew up reading comic books. And I mean, that's kind of a lost art, I would say, is that not as many kids are into comic books as they were in the 70s or 80s. And so this is something kids are into, is superhero movies. And maybe that's how they get into comic books. But laying it out in such a simple way at the beginning of the movie, I think, is just so important for everyone to understand the movie. Yes, could we have come to that conclusion at the end? When we just see, like, oh, they couldn't get their wishes because that's not real and she had to give something up too. Yeah. But it sets you up at the beginning of the movie to, like, easily translate that and just show you, like, how it's evolved throughout her life. I think if you just wanted action with her, then you should just wait and go see a DC movie with her in it. Because, like a Justice League movie with her in it. It's just, I don't think the movie was meant to just be action. I think it was meant to be emotional and have a story. And so that's my big take on it.
Yeah, I agree. I think the entire idea, and that's what got lost on people. And what's funny is maybe that's the reason this movie isn't doing well. The opinion of this movie isn't doing well, because this world, like what we've turned into, is a world of immediate gratification. And we, John and I, have joked about it in the past of, like, we can get stuff right away. Like, and I've said on both of my podcasts, like, ever since the invention of the microwave, and to me, that's the turning point. It's like, I can have food like that. I don't have to cook an entire meal, and then everything has snowballed since then. And now, especially with, we don't have to wait to see anything. And Wonder Woman, what's the irony that Wonder Woman 1984 is a movie about immediate gratification and the negativity of it, and it's the first movie to be day and date in the theater?
Yeah.
You got it the way you wanted it. People have been, here we go. I swear to God, we don't set these things up, people. People have been wishing for day and date, and the first movie we get, they hate.
Yeah.
And it's like, and the meaning of the movie is, be careful what you wish for. You might not like it. And it's like, or my thing is the meaning of this movie is everything has a balance. There's mm-hmm. a cost. There's an, you know, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Maybe we'll go down that tangent for a little bit. Part of the movie is when Diana, you know, Wonder Woman was losing her powers. I wasn't sure as this movie was playing out, was it because Cheetah was, or Barbara, was mm-hmm. it because Barbara was getting them? Or was it because of her wish? And as the movie played out, of course, you find out. Did you know right away she wasn't getting them because of her wish or because of... were you like me? Maybe it was from Barbara taking them.
I thought it was because of, like, the truth. So she wasn't... She was, like, the first really thing I noticed, I guess when I watched, I thought it was the first thing we saw, but maybe it started before. But the first thing I noticed of her losing her powers was when her whip kind of just let go. And she saved the kids from the street, and her and she had lassoed herself around something, and it just dropped. It let her go. That was the first thing I noticed. And so to me, that kind of immediately clicked the truth. And she wasn't living the truth. She was, because she had, I think she had just said there must be another way. She wasn't ready yet to let go of Steve, and she wasn't ready to let go of her wish to tell others to have to let go of theirs. You know, she was ready to kind of be hypocritical. She knew what had to be done, but she wasn't ready to do it. And so the truth, lasso whip had kind of just been like, well, this runs on truth. So, and she had explained it before, is that the truth, that's what her powers are. Her powers are the truth, run by the truth. And she explained how different objects may be powered by different entities like that, like hope or greed or something like that. So the fact that she wasn't kind of abiding by the truth, I think that's where I noticed that she can't keep her powers if she doesn't live by them.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. I didn't think that she needs to be telling that, like you said, her everything's based on the truth. So she was living a lie by trying to figure out another way.
Mm-hmm.
So the first part, until she finally gives in, it wasn't necessarily the fact that she gave back her wish. It was that's not why she got her powers back. It's the reason she got her powers back is because trying to keep that wish was a lie, and that inhibits her power.
Exactly.
So it's, whereas for everybody else, like for Barbara, what's it, Kristen Wiig? Is that her name? Mm-hmm.
Kristen Wiig.
She, like, the negativity to her having the power was kind of, she kind of went too far, and she turned herself into a cheetah, which in the comics, she stays that way. Who knows what's going to happen here if she ever shows up again. But she apparently, you know, she gives hers back because, you know, too much, and there was a negativity. But for the whole world, the negativity was, yeah, you can have your wish, but look at how your things affect other people. Like, very blatantly pointed out by the poor old man that wanted a farm, that they basically dropped all his farm into the middle of the city. And it's like, that's the typical careful what you wish for. Like, we're going to give you exactly what you asked for.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you have affects other people. So you need to be careful. And it wasn't, things didn't work out that way.
Like, every action has an equal and opposite reaction, just in a movie. Like, you.
Exactly.
You think about, there's so many things you can get that you can do in life. So many small things you can do that seem really, like, insignificant to you. But when you start thinking about the domino effect that it has on other people's lives, then that's when you start seeing things like, oh, I shouldn't be doing that. And, like, we always joke, not always, but I always say, like, piracy is not a victimless crime. They put it in front of every movie. And I say it all the time. I'll be like, oh, just remember, piracy is not a victimless crime, as a joke, because to us, it feels victimless. If you were to go and record a movie, you're like, well, who's going to get hurt? I have this movie and I'm not going to give it to a lot of people. I'm only going to give it to a few people. But then if everybody did that, just like in this movie, if one person gets their wish, well, I'm not going to feel the effects over here in Massachusetts of somebody in California making a small wish, maybe. But when everybody starts to do the same things and everybody starts to act the same way in that greedy, like, selfish way of just, well, this, it's small. Don't worry. Like, it's small. I don't think it'll affect anyone. Then everybody's going to get affected. And it's a spider web of lies. You're weaving a web of lies.
Right. Even the idea of, like, careful what you say, careful, like, even sarcasm, because that the guy that killed the woman said, oh, yeah, my wish is I wish you dropped dead. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't really, but mm-hmm. because he said it, it's like your wish is like talking to a young child. Young children don't understand sarcasm. So whatever you say, they're like, why would you say that? Well, that's like your wish. So be careful what you're wishing for. And something wise like that, you know, sarcastic like that has immediate ramifications, right? Mm-hmm. But to your idea of like even the littlest one, if everybody did that, like just let for your example of like piracy of movies, it doesn't seem like much, but if everybody did that, we wouldn't have movies anymore to pirate, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. like all of a sudden, because the movie industry would get shut down. There wouldn't be any more money because people would just be pirating it. You know, see Napster, see what happened with that and how that changed the, you know, music industry. People thought it was like, yeah. all right, well, what's the big deal? People didn't understand what the power of the internet was and what you could do with it. And it's kind of, it's very much like this movie. It's, mm-hmm. you know, people are like, oh, I wish I could just download it. Like, I'll let you borrow my copy, my tape of, and this is going to the 80s. I have a tape of Van Halen. I'll let you borrow it and copy it. Okay. Well, that's very difficult to do. So it wasn't allowed. You're not supposed to do that, but it's very difficult for the whole world to do that and share it that way.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish there was a way we could do this a little bit easier. And then in the 90s, there was a way, but nobody thought it would be possible. Nobody thought it was a big deal. Nobody cared. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you knew, sales were going down because everybody was just pirating it off of Napster. And it mm-hmm. literally took an act of Congress and they made that illegal. At the time, mm-hmm. it wasn't illegal. So all of that stuff, that changed the world because of one little hiccup, one little thing. And this movie showed that one little thing can do that and on a much grander scale.
I think it, too, is just something that might seem better for, like, your life as much as you want it. Like, you really have to think about what you're choosing, like, just with Diana's case and of course, we all want Steve to be there. We all want Steve to stay. If this was Captain America, you would want Peggy there. You know, you'd like, that's all I wished for at the end of Captain America is like, okay, now find a way to bring her back. That's like, that was my first thought. Like, okay, now it's how many years in the future? She's an old woman. It can't work, but figure it out for me, Marvel. Like, that's what I want. Cause that'll make the story happy. And that's what I want. And you got that with this Wonder Woman. You get, Oh, Steve's back. And how? And even he says, he's like, I don't know. I don't know how I got here. I know all I remember is I went to a place that I really liked. And you're like, oh, like now they can be together. But she has to let that go. And even though that's something that would make her life so much better, or she thinks like that's what would make her life. That's what would make her happy.
It's the only thing she ever wanted.
Yeah. She gives so much. And I think we fall into that a lot. It's so easy to fall into like, I do this and that's me giving a part of myself. And I do this, and that's me giving a part of myself. I just want something back. So if I'm a little greedy over here, it's okay because I'm giving so much of myself. And it's unfortunately you can be greedy, but it's going to have an effect if you're not living by the truth.
Right. You're not, again, you didn't earn it. And at the end of the day, when you don't earn it, there's going to be ramifications. Mm-hmm. So what do you think of, I love this part, but with our age difference, it's a slight age difference, Meg. So with our slight age difference, what did you think of the 80s setting? I have my answer, but I'm going to hold on to it because we haven't talked about this yet. But what did you think of the 80s setting?
I liked it. It didn't make or break the movie for me because that's not where I grew up. I liked it for the things that I noticed that I could, like, connect to the 80s to just be like, oh, that's cool. But that's really it. Because I didn't live through the 80s, so, it, like, I don't look at things and be like, oh, that's so cool that they put that in there. Whereas you look at things and get excited. Like, oh, I remember that from my childhood. It's like I'm on TikTok like almost all of my life, and people will make videos and they'll do like, oh, like 2000s kid flashback, and they'll show like different toys I used to play with or different like parts of commercials, and it gets me excited. I'm like, oh, I forgot that part of my life, and like it brings back a memory. So I didn't feel that with this part of the movie, but it made me happy for you. you were really excited. You wore your shoes and ate your candy that you don't even like, and you explained a few things that I don't even remember, but it made me happy for you to see you happy.
Right. Yes. No, because when we went to see it in the theater, I had already watched it here, and mm-hmm. I actually own the same shoes that Steve tried, the sneakers, the Nikes, the exact same pair. I have those sneakers. So I wore them to the movie. So when those popped up, Mom leaned over to you and was like, check out Dad's shoes. Yeah. And you laughed, Joe laughed. And yes, Whoppers. I'm not a big fan of Whoppers. I never was. I don't hate them. I can eat them. And I haven't eaten them in years, but we have them in our theater because whenever I do eat them, I feel like when I was a kid and I got Whoppers when I went to the movie theater. So I brought those with me. I had a good time. It was going back to the 80s. What do you think? I don't think I brought this up to you. What do you think of this idea that this movie practically couldn't have taken place in a better time period because the 80s were a time of excess? So the character of Maxwell Lord, that was a real person in the 80s. That was all over TV, all over like infomercial commercials on cable or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. you too can make money. And I had lots of friends, especially later in the 80s, that I worked with that were trying every get-rich-quick scheme there was. Mm-hmm. And they all either lost money or they lost their money and now they were trying the next one that didn't cost them a lot of money or didn't cost them any money. But there was always the next trick, the next scam, the next pyramid scheme. And they mention it here. It's a Ponzi scheme. Ponzi schemes were huge in the 80s. I didn't even know what they were until later in the 80s. And somebody explained it to me and I was like, oh, okay. That was another thing. I think Ponzi schemes weren't exactly illegal, and then they became illegal because they realized, oh, this, you can't be doing this. So that started getting regulated. So that whole idea that just them mentioning that in this movie was a big deal to me. It was, and the 80s were a time of excess, but we did have the Cold War that was represented here with the nuclear weapons and everything. That was a big thing in the 80s. There was a TV show at the time, or a movie made for TV movie, I think it was The Day After or something, and that was about nuclear war. So that part of that played into the excess that we had. It's like, oh, any day we could have nuclear war and I'll be dead, so might as well just have fun. And mm-hmm. that was part of the 80s, and that played into, that was a character in this movie. As much fun as it was and as funny as all that was part of the character of this movie, is that whole 80s aspect. And
yeah,
you probably didn't know any of that, did you?
No, I think the one thing I picked up on was the nuclear war, just in how it connected to the movie. I didn't really connect it to the 80s because like, I know about the Cold War and everything and obviously nuclear weapons, but I never like, not to say they're not something I don't think about, but it's not like I lived through like their development and like their development and excess and fear of them. Obviously, there's always the fear of nuclear war, but I think we've gotten to a point now that a lot of the world has come to an understanding that one nuclear fallout is going to cause a ripple effect of more. And that's how I kind of related it in the movie, in that you saw this huge like domino effect, again, like we've said, and how one little thing can affect another thing. And that is what nuclear war would be. In so many ways, it could cause the end of humanity as we know it, because one, like, you can have as many nuclear weapons as you want. You set one off, somebody's going to set one off back at you. Somebody else is going to set one off to protect themselves. You know, like, it's just,
right.
it's a ripple effect. And like what happened in the movie, you have all these weapons and they're saying, well, we're not going to use them. They're just popping up because the president had wished for them. They're just popping up and Russia's seeing all of them pop up and Russia sees that as an attack. So then they send theirs over and you've already caused the end. Like it's,
World War III.
And that's what it is. And, that's something that's, I think that's a huge, easy way to show it. 'Cause that's a scary reality for a lot of people. Thinking like, oh, we have this ability that we don't use. But I thought that I only saw that how that played into the whole wishing effect and the whole ripple effect. But no, I didn't think about the other things that you brought up.
Yeah, I'm wondering if a lot of people do, to be honest with you. I think especially in our movies nowadays, our action movies, we are expecting action. And just pure action. And I'm guilty of that as well. I wish we had a little bit more Wonder Woman, like the mall scene, you know, kicking butt. And the same, like at the end when she finally, you know, she relinquishes her wish and she starts running and you see her healing and you're like, oh, here we go. She's taken, you know, she literally took off. And that's where she learned how to fly, which I thought was great when they did the, you know, that scene in the jet and Steve was talking about flying and it's just about your relationship with the wind for all intents and purposes. I'm like, this is where she learns how to fly. And I'm like, we're going to get to see her how to fly, which was really cool. Yeah. I thought that scene was cool where she learned how to fly. And I thought it was a really cool scene, them flying through the fireworks. As hokey as I thought that was, I'm one of the people that were like, wait a minute, Steve should have known what fireworks were. But I really enjoyed that scene. I thought that was a great cinematic scene. It was just fun. Imagine flying through fireworks. And I loved how they showed the jet from behind afterwards. And it was invisible, but you could kind of make the outline of it because of the fireworks around them. I just thought all of that was just a lot of fun to observe. And it did play, I thought that scene played a huge part of the story and of Wonder Woman. And I'm interested if you even know why.
So I have been watching a lot of TV lately, a lot with my boyfriend, Greg, who I have talked about some of this in length with, because he hasn't seen the movie yet. But we've talked about how people haven't liked it. And I said, yeah, I think you're somebody who's going to skip through. We'll watch TV and he skips. He'll like take the remote and he'll skip. And then he'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. Like he doesn't think about it. But he just skips. He doesn't want to watch the emotional stuff.
Oh.
And to that, that's what his point is in this, is that people just wanted more action. Again, he still hasn't seen the movie. But he's saying all he's been hearing is people want more action. There's a lot of like emotional stuff. And I just, to me, that's just like, then, like I said earlier, put her in a DC movie then. Like, don't make a whole movie about her, because I think, what is a character without a backstory? What's the point? And I love the jet scene and them talking, because whether you like it or not, and whether you want to accept it or not, or think about it, everything you do has a reason behind it. Something that somebody said, something that you learned in school, something that you heard at work, everything you do, there's something fueling that. And Wonder Woman didn't just wake up one day and start flying because she wanted to fly. Even if the comic books made it feel like that because that was just one of her powers, this is giving you a reason behind that. And I think that's one of the coolest things about backstory movies. And that's one of my favorite things about it. And I think, kind of going back to instant gratification, if all you want is action, you're going to get bored by that part of the movie. But I think it's so important to the character and it's so important to the story that you get to see the reason behind her doing things. And I'll bring that right back to the beginning scene, and that I think it was so necessary because there's a reason she knows about the truth. There is a reason she understands that she can't have everything she wants. Even if, as a little kid, she felt like she had gotten there fair and square, she had been told, no, you cheated. You can't win if you cheated. You took the short way. You took a shortcut, and that's not the truth, so it's not going to get you anywhere, even if we just give you a crown. It's like giving a kid a trophy, even if they didn't win. they get a trophy, but what's the point? Like, okay, right. You get a trophy. So yeah, I think I did. I love those scenes. I love all the things. And like you said, I thought of too, one of the problems that I saw was the whole radar thing and yeah. How she made the ship invisible. And then I was like, well, wouldn't they still see it on the radar? Like, even if it's invisible, like we see submarines, even though we can't physically see them. But like right. We talked about a little, it's magic. It's Wonder Woman's powers. We can't explain it. Maybe someday they will explain it, or we could come up with our own explanation. Like, she can fly, obviously, just because we're people too. Like, we can't just jump up and fly and ride with the wind the way she says it. So it is magic. We could find a way to explain it. But I really love those scenes.
Yeah. And the other part that I liked about it is, for years when I was a kid, we always said, like, why does she have an invisible jet? She can fly. What does she yeah. need an invisible jet for? And this kind of fills that in. And mm-hmm. how did she get it? That was the other thing. Where did she get an invisible jet? And now it's like, oh, she made it. Now she kind of owns it because nobody else can see it anyways. And, mm-hmm. you know, unfortunately, she lost her coffee mug that's invisible, but she apparently always knows where she parks the jet. And that's great. Yeah, she learned, and once she makes something invisible, it stays that way. So for all we know, she could have a bunch of friends too that we just can't see, and yeah, exactly. That was done, you know, between movies. But I loved that idea, and you know, a little bit. I guess when you're not upset about the movie, you can start finding little things in it, you know, and that's what makes you enjoy it actually. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I wanted to mention was, what did you think of the whole idea of the bunch of little wishes and the big nuclear war wish, which you had mentioned before? So I've heard, like, maybe the movie's a little too convoluted. Maybe they should have just stuck with one big wish to make it easier to digest in a quicker mm-hmm. movie. What do you think of that idea?
So we talked about this a little bit after the movie, and I had told you that we talked a little bit about how people didn't like all those little wishes and how it kind of wasn't necessary for him to get to the whole world in the way that he did, and that did draw out the movie because he was so obsessed with touching everybody and getting a way for everybody to make a wish. But I thought that was a huge part of the movie. I thought it was a huge part of the lessons in the movie, but also making our world and connecting it, like how you said, like the 80s is a character in the movie and everything about that, and it helps the story. They already talked about how that power of wishing had taken down civilizations. They talked about empires. They talked about the Mayans, which was really cool, I thought, because that's a civilization that just vanished off the face of the earth. We have no idea what happened to them. Right. There's still ancestry out there. Like, I've met Mayan people, like people from Mayan descent, but there's just no clue of what really happened to the Mayans as a whole. So that was a fun way to explain it, which is horrible to say because it's a group of people that's real, but that was a very interesting way to explain it. Because it is. It's one of the wonders that we have today. There's so many things like we can't explain when there are fascinating things that we can explain. So that was a cool way to do that. So they already touched upon that. It could take down a state, a government, a country. But the world is so connected today. And it's such a huge part of our lives now. And it's so evident now that, yes, there's certain things that face different countries and different nationalities, different races, but there's certain things too that just spawn humanity, and they're across humanity, and it's part of the human experience. And one of those things is wishing and kind of hoping, and you wish you had the easy way out sometimes, and that's something we all experience, no matter your situation, no matter if you're the richest person in the world, the poorest person in the world, the sickest, the healthiest. We all have something we wish for, and sometimes we all wish it was easier. I think we see that, especially now with COVID, we see that that's something that doesn't care about state lines. It kind of has started to not care about age, race, ethnicity. Like, it affects some people more, but it's something that spread across the whole world like that. It was so quick. It doesn't matter if you're in the United States, China, Australia, Europe, anywhere. Everybody was affected because our world is so connected. A long time ago, COVID probably would have stayed just in China or just in that region of Asia because people wouldn't have traveled. It wouldn't have gotten so easily onto an airplane, then into the United States. And that's how these things spread so quickly. And something we kind of have to face now is realizing like the amount of people you see in a day and the amount of lives you interact with in a day. You think if you sit there and think about like, oh, like if I had to be quarantined tomorrow, how many people would I have to inform? Like how many people am I going to have to tell like you might want to go get checked? So I loved that part of the movie and I thought it was so relevant in that, yeah, the wishing could take down a civilization and we know that and we've seen it happen. But because the world is so connected, it can take down humanity. It can take down the world. Right. We are, as much as we are separated, the world is so small now that we are all one group. We're one group on one planet, which is also kind of cool for the superhero in general universe, thinking of just like planets, like on a worldly level, we think of ourselves as on the earthly level, we think of ourselves as so separated. Like I'm from the United States, you're from Great Britain, you're from Ireland. And that's so separated to us, but we are so connected. And it's so evident through this movie.
Yeah. I mean, Meg, look at us. We're talking to tens of people right now across the world.
Exactly.
Tens of them. That's the part that amazes me is this movie was made like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And like you just said, it's so relevant today. It's had this movie come out 2 years from now, you'd be like, wow, that reminds, you know, how each wish touches everybody else and how it spread so fast and was so bad. It's like, well, that, you know, people would have said that's analogous to COVID, analogous to the pandemic we just went through. But it's in reverse. This was made years ago and it comes out during a pandemic that is affecting us the same way. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a possibility too. Like people are just like, I'm sick of this stuff. I just want to be entertained. Maybe they don't want to hear about this stuff. I would much rather have, you know, just a movie that has nothing to do with anything. And I just want to just turn my brain off and enjoy some action, which that's legit. I mean, I get that. I understand that. Yeah. You were speaking of this earlier. It's like, if you just want the action, put her in a movie. And some of my favorite Wonder Woman scenes, some of my favorite DC scenes are Wonder Woman coming into the scene. And it's up there. Like when she drops in Batman vs. Superman, when she gets off the plane and she says, you know, I got to go. And she goes to help Batman and Superman at the end of the movie. And when she drops in and that music, her music starts playing. And at the time, we'd never heard that music.
Yeah.
She just dropped in and, you know, she drops in front and blocks the blast with her shield. And Batman and Superman look at each other and like, who is she? Is she with you? I thought she was with you. That entire scene is one of my favorite scenes, not even in the DCEU. It's in all of movies. That's up there with Captain America taking the hammer. I absolutely love that scene. Her, and this was in her movie, but her going across that no man's land in the first Wonder Woman movie, that was a great, great action scene. Her going through and deflecting those bullets and everything. Those are great scenes, but you're right. It's like, if you're going to make a whole movie about her, you got to expect some backstory. You've got to expect some, especially where it's a female character, you got to expect a little bit more emotion than you would say in a Batman backstory.
Even that though, I don't buy into that.
What do you mean?
The whole, I've thought about this and thought about like, and even Greg had said it to me. He's like, well, it is a movie about a girl, like about a female character. So it's going to be more emotional. And it's like targeted towards females. But I don't buy into that because I think Batman's an emotional guy. I think Superman's an emotional guy. Captain America's super emotional. He was just a sad little boy before. And that plays on your emotion of being a sad little boy that just wants to be the big strong man that the world expects you to be. I think everything plays on emotion, but when it plays on the female emotion, that's when you're like, oh, it plays on emotion, because that's not something you experience. I do think that men and women experience very different emotions a lot of their lives just because of society and our roles defined and whatever, how those have started to blend lines. But I think as a little boy, it's easy to understand the emotions behind a male character and just like kind of graze over it and be like, oh yeah, like I totally understood that story, rather than maybe Wonder Woman thinking, okay, yeah, there are female emotions there and this is based off of emotions, but now you have to work for it. Now you have to work to understand it because you don't have those emotions. So it's harder. But right. I don't buy into the whole it's more emotional. I think it's just as emotional as anybody's backstory. It's just harder for you to understand. But
right.
I think in the reverse, not to go all gung-ho women on you really quick, but in the reverse, I spent my life watching male superheroes, and no, maybe I don't necessarily feel those things, but I can understand them, and I can learn to understand how they feel. I never had to go through the, like, oh, I was the pipsqueak kid that just wanted to be tough and stuff. Like, I didn't have to do that. I was a little girl, and I'm still a little girl. I'm like 5 feet tall. Doesn't yeah. bother me. I don't have anybody to protect except myself. You know, right. like I don't go through that. But I can understand it, and I can apply it to like the men in my life. Whereas you might have to take Wonder Woman and any really female superhero and start to kind of break that down. And it is hard. It's harder than just like getting to watch the movie and be like, yeah, I get it. But it's not, I don't think it's more emotional than anybody's backstory.
What do you think of the idea that, and this is the best thing to ask you, because John and I can't have this discussion. What do you think of the idea that an action movie, these action movies, are basically geared towards men? And they're trying to gear them towards women, but it's just, I hate to be like stereotypical and be sexist, yeah. but yeah. at the same time, it's like, little boys grow up and like to play sports for the most part. And little girls grow up and they like to do less physical stuff. I know there's people that are different, that people cross lines. I get it. I don't want to offend anybody. But what do you think of the idea that people are just, they just want pure action? It's supposed to be an action movie is what mm-hmm. they're thinking. So just give me that. And they don't want that female emotion part.
I think if you take as much action, as much emotion out of Wonder Woman, like on a base human level, if you take as much emotion out of Wonder Woman and then do the same to other movies, you're going to be like, wait, where'd my backstory go? To the other movies. Because it's so easy to understand those male backstories and that Superman, like, you understand that father-son connection. Spider-Man, you understand being a teenage boy, being goofy. You understand all that.
Right.
So it's so easy to build that character in your own mind and to understand and relate to that character. It's not easy to relate to Wonder Woman because she's a female and she's going to go through different emotions. And she's right. even going to experience love in a different way. Like Captain America loses Peggy and it's essentially the same as Diana losing Steve, because they are just going to age. Like, she's obviously kind of immortal. She's going to age differently. But Captain America, Peggy aged without him, and he has to go through that. She has to go through not having Steve. It's essentially the same thing, but because yep. they're male and female, they're going to experience it different ways. They're going to experience different emotions, just how, like, in a relationship with a male and a female, I think it's very, like, it's sometimes you're like, why don't you understand me? But it's because we just, mm-hmm. like, we don't process things the same way. And so I think if you took the emotion out of Wonder Woman and did the same to other movies, you'd be upset with the other movies to say, where did my right. backstory go? Because I felt the action in Wonder Woman was great. I liked the amount of action. I liked the amount of fighting. I think if there was more, then it'd just be too much. And you'd be like, okay, we get it. There's only so many times she can fly. There's only so many times she can use her whip. There's only so many times she can swoop in and pick up kids. She did that right. twice. That's how much more do you want? How many times has she swooped in? How many times did she just pop into that costume? And that, and how you even said before, like, you got really excited in the scene when she had to renounce her wish and started running, and all of a sudden you see the transformation, you see the scars go away, you see her get her power back, she's running, she takes off, you get excited. And you wouldn't have that excitement if she did it the whole time. You'd be like, exactly. Oh, here we go again. You don't get those balance. That goosebump. You don't get that goosebumps moment of, oh my goodness, here she goes. And we're all human. Like, that's a hard thing to do. And you can even feel the, like, I felt the running when she was running away. I hate running. But I felt the, like, she just needed to run as hard as she could. She needed to go as fast as she could. She had to get away from there because she was so overwhelmed with, like, she had to do this. She didn't want to do this. She didn't want to lose the one thing she ever wanted. But she had to. And so she just, like, ran for her life. And I think everybody's been in a situation where, like, you're upset or hurt or, I don't know, something's going on and you work out. And, like, you've never worked out like that before in your life. Like, you don't stop. You just keep going. Right. And it's like, that's the pain behind that. That's the pain behind that scene. And you wouldn't get that if that's all she ever did. If she always was just go, 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 then you wouldn't get that. Right. And she would be really tired.
She
wouldn't be cool.
But you're absolutely right. That's part of the pacing of a movie, the pacing of the people talk about that with Mandalorian. They don't like the, let's just get to it. And it's funny we're talking about this, but this is exactly what Wonder Woman 1984 is about. People wish they had all action, but if you gave them all action, they'd be like, where's the story? But then you give them a story and maybe it's not the story that they wanted. Now they get upset. But it's like, but you want a story, but you want your story. Well, let me play you your story and see how that plays out, because you're not the writer. You're not a writer. You're just somebody that wishes you had it this way. Well, if you watch Wonder Woman 1984, you're going to see how wishes play out. You don't always get exactly what you wish for.
Yeah. So, and I think we've gotten such a good lesson in that this year, in that how many times before this year have you sat there on a Sunday night and been like, I don't want to go to work tomorrow. Why can't I just stay at home? Yeah. Or you sit there any night and you're like, why can't I just work from home? It'd be so much easier. I'd get to stay in my pajamas all day. Like, that sounds so nice. I wish I could do that. And then the world gives you the opportunity to, you don't have to see anyone. You can't see anyone. You don't have to leave your house. You can stay in your pajamas all day. You don't have to shower ever. And you hate it and you're miserable and now you just can't wait to go back to work. And how long is it going to be once the world opens back up again that you start feeling that way again? You're not going to want to go to work. You're not going to want to do something. And suddenly all the things that you were wishing for, you're getting it now, just like what happened before, but you don't want them anymore. The grass is always greener. And like, I think that's what the whole movie is about. And like you said, it's impressive that was done before the pandemic, because those were obviously all true things before then. But it's just so evident now and it's so easy to apply to your life. And that could be a huge reason why people just don't like it, because it is like a slap in the face.
That's what a great way to end it, or end that part of the discussion. A slap in the face, Meg.
Yeah, a slap in the face.
One last thing. The ending there with the little cameo. Do you even know who Linda Carter is? So that final scene.
I don't know who anyone is. Well, I know who the character's supposed to be. Like, she's supposed to be, she's the woman, I forget her name.
In the gold suit. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, and Wonder Woman had said, like, oh, like, I've searched the world for her. I can't ever find her. But no, right. I'm definitely missing something.
Okay, I'll show you, because it's on HBO Max now, but she was the original Wonder Woman. Linda Carter played Wonder Woman in the TV show that pretty much, like, everybody my age was
like, that's so cool. Why wasn't everybody so excited about that? Forget whatever you thought about the rest of the movie. That's awesome.
Yeah, so she's cool. The original Wonder Woman.
So that's so cool.
Yeah. isn't it?
Why is everybody upset? They gave you that. Why are you upset? That is so cool. Everybody needs to put a smile on your face. That's so dumb. That's really cool.
Oh, I
didn't know that.
I knew her
name.
Too.
I knew the name because I've heard Linda Carter before, but I'm oblivious to most things. That's really cool, though. That's really cool. I'm upset at everybody now for being upset because that's cool that
John's going to be upset at me because yet I have pointed out that I'm not teaching my kids correctly. You didn't know what Cheers was. You didn't now you don't know who Linda Carter was.
No, but like there's so many things that you've shown me before and I don't remember. Like I'm bad at remembering. There's so much information in my brain. I've even said before, like we watched Star Wars when I was how old? So
yeah.
I don't remember everything. I said it to Greg when I started watching Mandalorian. I was like, is there stuff I need to know? Because I don't remember everything. Like I know more than like the average 21 year old girl, but I don't know a ton. And so yeah, you give me the right information, I just don't retain it at all. I'll have to relearn.
Nice save. All right. On that note, wait, you just saved my butt, kinda. I'm sure I'll hear from John. That should do it, right? You got anything else big or anything? You good?
No, I think that was good.
I'm sure there'll be questions that John will have.
Yeah.
And it'll be fun to compare because I know John will listen to us and then John and I can talk about it. So it'll be fun to get the two different perspectives. So that should do it for this week's issue number. What is it? What are we on? 115, I think, or 116. I'm not sure where we are. We've done so many. With the tens of listeners, but all right. What did you think of the podcast? You can let us know on Twitter @brightside_chat, or you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. I will forward all messages on to John and to Meg this week. And, hey, everybody have a great week. John will be back next week. And, that should do it. Thanks a lot, Meg. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Fred.
The story and of Wonder Woman, and I'm interested if you even know why.
I got lost. I got lost. I was coming up with things to say in my head, and I just got lost.
Oh, okay. And I threw you for a loop.
No, because I was ready.